Hello there. I just wanted to let you know that today's conversation is between two adults, and because there are two adults in the conversation, sometimes colorful language is used. If there are small children in the room, you might want to put your headphones on. Okay, enjoy today's conversation. This is the Photographer's Revolution podcast, and I am your host, Dana Pugh.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So, why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, God.
Are you like, oh my God, don't make me do this?
I'll just give like a little overview of who I am.
Yeah, well, tell me who you are. Who am I speaking to today?
I'm Tara Whitney.
Yay!
I've been a photographer for 11 or 12 years. And I live in Southern California with my husband, who I've been married to for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
I have four kids. Their ages are 22, 20, 18, and 15.
Yeah.
And, that's me basically.
Yeah. That's nuts. I can't believe you've only been shooting that long, because I feel like I picked up a camera probably 12 years ago, and then I started my business at the end of this year. It'll be 11 years in September.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I was shooting way before, but I guess, I've been shooting since my kids were babies, but as far as like having it be a job, I think it started for me around 2006.
Oh, so not that much before me.
Yeah.
But I remember I remember discovering you like on Two Peas in a Bucket.
Oh yeah.
Is that even a thing? I don't even know if that's a thing.
I don't know if it's still around.
Yeah. And being like, oh my God, that's what I want to shoot, you know, because it was so hard. For people who are around today, there's so much information out there, and there's Instagram and everything. But back then it was hard to find other photographers, especially other female photographers.
Right. Not to mention the style back then was completely different. We were coming out of blue jeans and white t-shirts, you know, and super pose. And I remember when I first started, like when I was taking pictures of my kids, it was all about just like life, you know, around the house. We did post stuff, but for me, I was more drawn to sitting back and watching stuff happen and capturing it like that. And so when I wanted to take pictures of other people, that's what I wanted to do too. And I remember at the time I was shooting film, so I went into my local camera shop, I was buying film, and the guy was talking to me about work, and I said, yeah, I want to start shooting people at home and shooting things more candidly. And he's like, who would want a photo shoot at home?
Yeah.
And I was like, me? I would. I'm going to offer what I want.
Yeah.
And you know, like nobody did that back then. It was all like pose studio stuff. And now that's what everybody's doing, is the lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
It's completely changed. And now for me, I'm like, okay, this thing is kind of like the lifestyle thing kind of feels a little bit cliche,
right,
and forced and fake at this point.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to go back to back to the simplicity and just, I don't know. I'm in a big shift with work right now.
Yeah, me too. And I feel I totally am too, because I feel the same way. Like it feels super forced to me now, and I don't know why. Like even I'm doing the same thing I've always done with clients, and you show up, and I feel like social media plays a big part in this, and Pinterest.
Definitely.
And all of that. And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, why is there such a disconnect? And I've never had to be super blunt with people before, but I feel like I'm moving into this period where I'm going to have to be like, yeah, no, like that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to have a conversation.
Right. And with social media, I think the problem with it is, everybody's trying to top themselves constantly because in order to be seen and be noticed, you got to be different. You can't just be showing the same portrait against the window light every time, you know?
Yeah.
And so then, but then it's like, if you consistently are trying to top yourself, do you lose yourself?
Yeah.
It's like, who do you become if you're just trying to top yourself? And so even I get sucked into that, like comparing myself to other people's cool imagery and things that are catching my eye are things that are unique and pushing the boundaries and doing things that I've never thought to do. But then it's, then you compare and you just feel like crap. And I mean, I don't know. The social media thing is really tough to just be to really keep it focused on what you want to show and not be thinking about what you think people want to see.
Right. And I think it's hard to create, it makes it really difficult to create because you feel like this pressure to create like that one social media image that will get attention because like so little gets attention now. But then it almost, for me, the problem has become, or what I've decided the problem is it's not about the family I'm photographing anymore. It's becoming about all these outside things. And I'm just trying to narrow it down to like be about them again and whatever it is. Like if they show up and I'm like, what are they wearing? You know, that has happened a number of times recently where I'm like, what is happening in this situation? Like I gave them so much direction and what are they wearing? You know? And then just being like, okay, well, this is
who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too, because most of our clients, I mean, most of my clients come from Instagram and social media, or referrals from other people. So they've seen friends' photos. So they have this vision in their head, maybe even not from seeing my photos, but from seeing photography across the board of what their family, what they want their family to look like. And, you know, not everybody's family can do a lifestyle session.
No.
And for me particularly, as my children have grown up and as the people who follow me, their children have grown up, I get more and more teens and more adult families. And those, and an adult family and a teen family, it's really hard to organize a lifestyle type session because at this point in their life, they don't do a whole lot together.
Right.
No, it's not
so hard.
It's not like when you walk into a family's home with all the kids in elementary school and younger, where their natural thing is just like they're all on top of each other all the time and there's so much to capture. And with teens and adults, it's different. And so then I go into these families who I know they want that like lifestyle vibe, but I can't give it to them because they don't have that thing to capture.
Yeah.
And so then I come away from it feeling like shit because it's like I didn't give them what they wanted, but we all need to be realistic here.
Yeah.
Some family, just a portrait session is all they need. And you don't have to put that pressure on yourself.
Yeah. I feel like that's why I got a studio.
Yeah.
And I kind of, it's funny because I got a studio and I wasn't getting any teens in there. And so now I'm like, forget this. Like, I'm just going to start directing my families with teens to do a studio session. Or if we're going to do it in their house, it's just portraits.
Right.
You know, like maybe I'll do an environmental portrait in their room or whatever, but it's not going to be this like forceful event. It's so funny because this weekend I'm having my family portraits taken. And we do like lifestyle family portraits. Right. And I mean, you photographed us twice, so you know. And we do a lot of stuff together as a family, so I feel like it's okay. But then talking to Andrea, who's photographing us on Sunday, she's like, what are we going to do? You know? And like coming up with a totally unique, way of doing it so that the kids are interested and that they don't fight and that they're not on their phones. And, you know, but at the same time, I want them to be real. Like I told, like I did with you, we just wore what we were wearing that day. And they were great. I'm like, you know, in fact, Andrea saw Jack wearing the t-shirt that he wore at your session. She saw, he was wearing it yesterday and I did an IG story of him and she's like, can he wear that t-shirt? And I'm like, no, cause he wore it at Tara's. But I'm like, you know what? He's wearing a new pornographer's t-shirt, like a band. I'm like, I just want him to like dress the way he dresses every day. His jacket's full of holes, but he wears it every day.
Like, can we just be our everyday selves? And if we don't match, it's not, like, I don't care anymore. It's like a totally different level of caring as a parent now that I have teens too. It's like, whatever, how is this going to work? Like,
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, with teens, it's kind of like going back to the toddler days. Like, when you're shooting a bunch of toddlers herding cats, you literally cannot force them to do anything.
Yeah.
And so you just have to let go of the control and just get what you get. And with teens, it's kind of the same thing. And I have been just racking my brain for ways, because I have two teens and two adult children, and you'd think I'd be able to come up with an idea, but I'm trying to like think of a way to still get that lifestyle relaxed thing, even with teens.
Yeah.
And
so do you know what we're doing? Do you know what we're doing?
What?
We're having like an Instagram run. So we're calling it like an Instagram, like we're going to go through all the cool Instagram spots in the city. So we're going to like jump in and out of the car, run around, go get like crazy ice cream and all that sort of stuff. I'm like, this will be fun.
Yeah, that will be really fun.
I hope so. We'll see how what the reality actually is.
Yeah. But see, with your family and with my family too, my teens still like want to touch me and don't mind a snuggle. But there's some teens that are like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to snuggle up to my mom for a picture. I don't want to be close to my dad for a picture. Like, and they need that respect and that autonomy. And you have to be able to respect that in them too, but still capture the photo that mom really wants.
Yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard. But actually, like, I really like working with teens more than I ever imagined, actually.
I love teenagers.
Yeah, I think they're great.
I love teenagers. I just put the pressure of their mom on me.
Right.
Where, you know, where I'm like, she wants this like glorious mama love shot, and maybe this teenager's not into it.
Yeah.
And I respect that and I see it. And so I'm going to respect the teen versus what the mom wants. But, you know, it works out. Like, I haven't had any complaints, but it goes back to that pressure.
Yeah. And so having teens yourself, for me, it's funny because I feel like you said, I'm in a time of shift, but I feel like I've been fighting the shift for like a good number of years, like a solid good number of years. Where you're just like, this isn't happening. And then you're like, yeah, it is. And just, you know, fuck it, Dana, just let it happen. But I don't know why. I'm so like fighting the change. And a big part of it was like, for me, and I know for you too, when I was starting out, it was all about documenting my own kids. And that's like what I used for advertising, for on social media. And still when I post images of my own kids, those are the ones that get the most action, the most interaction. Yeah. And I, and now like although we're sort of leaving this phase, but there was that huge phase in the sort of middle where they didn't want to be involved.
Right.
And trying to navigate that and like the sort of effect that that had on me as an artist, like going, whoa, wait a minute. What else do I like to photograph besides them? Like, what is there? Oh my God. Like there's this void and I don't know what that is. And so what is that? And that's, I'm still in that phase, but also like, how do I document my own life and include them in a respectful way? Like this sort of like complicated, I don't know, balancing act. So how did you manage that? Like I'm wondering what that looked like for you.
It sounds pretty similar. I feel like for me, when I started out sharing online, it was in blogging, you know, early 2000s when blogging was really new. And I started because all my friends and family lived far away. And back then, before blogging, I would literally like email a blog post before I knew it was a blog post to friends and family with pictures just to like, keep them updated on life. And your kids are changing all the time. And so that's, you know, you want to capture it. My blog was really a lot about my family and stuff we were going through and stuff we would do together and what was happening with the kids. And then it gets to the point where your kids have a life outside of you.
Yeah.
Sometime around junior high. And there's things you can't talk about because it's too intimate, too vulnerable, too about them.
Right.
And so it's like, shit, now what? What do I talk about? And yeah. I went through a period where I didn't know. I didn't know what to talk about. And I didn't know what to focus on. And I lost a lot of my creative fire, I guess, because so much of my creative fire was focused on capturing my kids. And it's, and a friend and I would joke about how we needed to get a puppy or have a baby to stay relevant on Instagram.
Oh my God, I've so had that joke. In fact, at one, even when the kids were smaller, like before, maybe even before Instagram, but probably during Facebook time. And I did kind of want a third child. So I was always like, Bob, but you don't understand. This would be so great for my career. Like as a joke, but I'm like,
four. So I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to blow up my life. Just to yeah. say it. Yeah. On Instagram. But I think what happened is I went through kind of an empty phase where I didn't really know. And now I think it's transitioned into sharing more of myself, which was
right.
scary.
Yeah.
Like before, I think I was too scared to really share myself. And so I focused outwardly on my family. And now, because my children are all so independent, we don't spend a ton of time together anymore, all of us together.
Right.
And really my day is mostly focused on myself, my job, my husband, and small interactions and giving the kids what they need it, when they want it.
Right.
And so I've definitely transitioned into sharing more personal stuff just about myself, which is kind of scary and vulnerable,
yeah.
but.
Yeah. I feel like I've just started to do that too. You know,
yeah.
and just be okay with it. I feel like you've been doing it for a while. And I,
yeah.
Your kids are older than mine. So I wonder, and knowing you the way that I do, and you've had a major shift, I feel like, in your person as well. Like
totally.
In the last, like, 2 years, year and a half, I don't know, 2 years. And I'm wondering if that shift helped your creativity. I don't know how to explain it, but like did the two, what were the, how were the two related?
That's a good question. Honestly, I still feel a little bit like creatively stunted.
Right.
Like, what do I want to say?
Yeah.
Who am I? What do I want to say? What do I want to share? What's important to me? What do I care about? And as I went through the loss of the young children phase, I was kind of like, what now? And
yeah.
then, and grieved that a little bit, had to go through a grieving process and realize that so much of my identity is wrapped up in being a mom. And then realizing, okay, well, I became a mom really young.
Yeah.
I'm 41 and my youngest is 15. And in 4 years, I'll have an empty nest.
Yeah.
And I'll be 44, 45.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time left. Hopefully I have a lot
yeah.
of time left. And so what am I going to do with that time? And so I really just started focusing more on myself and, learning as much as I could about emotional development, going to therapy, just trying to better myself because I want to have a satisfying life.
Right.
I want to know what I need to do to have a satisfying life. And part of that, I mean, my main thing was learning how to really take care of myself. And, you know, I became a mom at 18, 19. So I went from being a child to being a mom and then focusing on kids for 20 years. And then it was like, oh, wait, here I am.
Yeah.
And I needed to give to that person and figure her out. Like what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't really know still, but I'm very much in the middle of a huge change where I'm trying to figure out what's next. And is it still going to be photography? And if it's not, what is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I totally feel that grieving. I feel like I'm at the point where I just got out of the grieving for the loss
mm-hmm.
of childhood, having childhood to document. In fact, like on Instagram almost made it worse and dragged it out longer, I feel like, because there's so many photographers who are documenting their kids in a much better way than I ever managed to, because there's so much information out there, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like, oh man, like, so I would see like all these amazing photographs and be like feeling bad about how I managed to capture their childhood on the one hand, and then on the other hand feeling like lucky that I didn't have all this outside influence, that I was just, it was just like raw and what it was.
Yeah.
And but not feeling, but getting to the point where I didn't feel bad that I didn't have anybody left to document. Right. And so I'm just out of there now. Like, it took a long time. Instagram made it really bad for me. Like, if I'm honest, like the grief and sort of wondering, like feeling bad that I didn't have more kids. Like, what do I have to photograph? What is it? Is it still the same as the things? Like, I didn't get married till I was 29. But at the same time, it's like, I'm a totally different person than I was in my 20s. And so am I still interested in the same things that I was interested in my 20s? What am I interested in? I don't know. I don't know what that is, you know?
Yeah, and I've been really trying to experiment the last couple of years with different shooting styles, different kinds of sessions. And I still really, truly love documenting a family.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, it's so gratifying to me to go into a house with a bunch of little kids and the parents are just like at their wit's end in the thick of it. They think their lives are over and their kids are horrible and they're embarrassed about their behavior. And I'm just like, oh, I love this. Like, this takes me back. This just takes me back. And I feel so much love for them. And it's such a joy to be able to capture that, the usefulness of a family and like that whole connection and the craziness and the chaos. And at the same time, I'm like, oh
yeah, sad.
Mine's over.
Yeah. I know. I don't, mine's not over. Well, it is over, but they're still at home. But it's still, so now I'm like grateful for the teens that I have more than I thought I ever would be. And even like sometimes they're difficult.
Of course.
Yeah. They're teens. But I feel like, oh, well, like they're difficult. I hope that I'm at the point where I can like appreciate their difficulty and like be like, okay, one day I'll miss this too.
Yeah. It's true. And with teens, it's like, you know what you said at the beginning, how there aren't a lot of teens online, you know, like parents of teens talking about it online. And I have the same problem. My husband's like, Tara, you need to write the way you used to write about our family.
Yeah.
But keep it private because we can't, like, it would be irresponsible or to share now because they're in the thick of it.
Right.
Like, there's so much that we go through that I don't share because I'm just protecting my children. And he's like, in 10 years, you could release it in 10 years.
Yeah, maybe you could. Maybe he has a point.
That's kind of a good idea, but it doesn't help all of us right now in the middle of it.
Right.
You know? But each one of my teens on a daily basis, I'm dealing and juggling with what they're going through and trying to help them move through life. And it's a really difficult time to go through the transition into adulthood. It's like the hardest time in our life. Yes. And most people do something to blow it up so that they don't have to deal with it. You know, most kids will do, I mean, I certainly did. I had 4 kids. Thank God. It's like, screw the transition. I'm just going to jump right into this. But, and it's really hard. And also when, for me, my transition was so rough. Yeah. I don't have a model of what a typical and healthy transition into adulthood is. And so I'm lacking in what I know that I can offer my kids. And that's another reason why I'm so hell-bent on therapy and emotional development, because I want to offer more than I just innately have or know what to do.
Right. What? Yeah, and the one thing I find too is there's not a lot of help, or there's not, and you know, like I had a mom's group when the kids were young, before like Facebook and Instagram and stuff. So, you know, we created a mom's group and we would meet when the kids were really little and not in school, like once a week, And then when they were in elementary school, it'd be like once a month. And we took trips together and we did all sorts of stuff together. And then now, like, if we see each other once a year, it's super lucky. And I just had dinner with one of the moms from that group the other night. And, you know, she was like, this is what I'm going through raising a teenager. And she had all these things. And I felt like she just needed to see another mom to be like, I don't know, am I doing it right? Like, I don't know what right is. This is so complicated. This is not what I expected. You know, yeah. I thought it would go like this other way. And now it's going this way. And, you know, and me too, being like, well, this is what's happening for us. And, you know, and sort of sharing back and forth and sort of the beauty in that. And how I feel lucky that to be a part of a generation where we still try to connect in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I feel like so many parents, and I do still think there's still that thing where we're all trying to show each other, oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're doing good. Yeah. But then instantly you like drop that. There's, you know, because you never were like that when the kids are small. So it doesn't take long before you just drop that. And you're like, okay, what's really going on?
Yeah.
You know, but it's so hard. And I feel like it's when you realize that all kids are a little bit different, right? And so everybody's parenting problems are slightly different in teenage, even though there's like sort of universal themes, like where are they going to go to college? Maybe my kid won't get into college. Will they get a scholarship? How will I afford this? You know, all that sort of stuff.
And more sinister things like mental health and drugs and peer pressure and social media and
relationships.
Relationships and safety.
Yes.
And
like, are we doing the right thing? When you know, when like our son's in a relationship right now and we really like her, she's really great. And, but at the same time, you're like, oh, are we doing the right thing as parents? Is this how you navigate this? Like, nobody really talks about it. Like, hopefully we're doing the right thing. We'll see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. You know, it's kind of like you hope that everything that you gave them is enough.
Yeah.
And sometimes you learn that it wasn't. And that's painful.
Yeah.
That's hard to see the damage that you've done to your kids.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
I know, because I've always said this, and Bob and I were talking about this last night, how like for us there's only two kids, but I imagine it's the same when you have multiple kids, like four or five. That there's like one child who really reflects back to you who you are, like the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And there's more so than the other child. Like you can see it in every child, but like there's the one, right? That is like, oh yeah, crap. Like she's doing that. For me, it's Georgia, obviously. She's doing that because that's me, right? And and then feeling sort of bad about it, but then also recognizing it in yourself and like changing it and recognizing that you're the best person to help her deal with this better than you did, right?
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't recognize it.
Yeah.
But then finding that balance where you're not the like,
it sucks. Like
helicopter parent.
Right, right. But definitely it sucks when you see your worst qualities coming out in your kids. It's just like, oh, what did I do? What did I do?
I did that.
Yeah.
That's me. Yeah. But it's good. I think it's good to help them because you're the one. You're going to be the right one to help them, even if you don't have a map of what you think your 20s should look like.
Yeah. And I think, too, a lot of moms especially are really focused on being the perfect mom and not damaging their kids. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, no matter what you do, you will.
Oh, yeah.
Damage your kid. Like, you're a human being.
Yeah.
You don't know everything. You're learning as you go. Every kid is different. Yeah. And for me, the most important thing is kind of taking that pressure off of myself. And when you do mess up, acknowledging that to your kid and being honest. You know, like I have a kid that I have a lot to talk about because there was a lot that I didn't do. And I learned better after him.
Yeah.
And we're very open about it. We're open about our flaws and our mistakes. And I think that when you can be honest and share in that pain with the child and say sorry.
Yeah.
And instead of being defensive or like, we were good parents and we did our best. And we're all doing our best. But when a child comes to you or when something comes up, it's really important to kind of like take emotion out of it and not take it personally.
Right.
And whether what they're saying is real or not, give them space to express it. Always be that open place for them to be able to talk to, and have respect for their feelings and emotions, and then try to understand, why are they feeling that way? Is it from me? Is it from them? Is it something I can change? Is it something I can work on? If it's nothing I can change because it happened in the past, then that's permanent pain. And then, you know, you share in that permanent pain with them and acknowledge it and move forward. And I know with my parents, the moments that I've been able to have with them where we shared in that permanent pain from the past, has changed our relationship, because if you can be on the same page, even when things were shitty, it kind of bonds you.
Yeah.
And I think when you can model to your kids that you can accept your own flaws and that making a mistake isn't the end of the world, or the end of a relationship, that's really good for them to know, like for them to have going forward. I think it's incredibly important for us all to be able to see and acknowledge ourselves, both our strengths and our flaws.
Yeah.
And for most of my life, I was focused so much on my flaws that I didn't even know what strengths I had. And I feel like one of my big shifts in the last couple of years is really acknowledging my strengths as well. You know, like moving out of the negative and moving more into the positive and being like, oh, this is who I am. I don't need to be scared of that. I don't need to hide it. I don't need to, you know, make myself less.
Right.
I can, like, shine and offer what I am and offer who I am. And whoever likes it, and whoever doesn't, kick rocks.
Yeah. It is what
you know,
it is.
I know not everybody's going to like it. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's funny. I feel like we're different in that. In my 20s, I think I was always aware of some flaws, like the flaws that people pointed out to me for sure. Like, and I think that being a woman, it's impossible to like walk around in life and not know what your flaws are, because everybody's pointing them out to you like all the time. But that said, I always knew what my strengths were and tried to play into them a lot. And hid behind them probably more than I don't know. I think Bob would say I'm very quick to say sorry. Like I'm one of those people that apologizes. I believe in an apology. I think it does so much. Like I love apologizing. but I think that probably for me, since my 40s, sometime in my late 30s, now through till my 40s, mid 40s, I'm beginning to recognize and appreciate my flaws, you know, not in a way that, not saying I didn't recognize them, just now being like, okay, that's my flaw and that's okay. Like, you know, people are not perfect, and knowing what your flaws are makes you be able to quicker be able to say to somebody, oh yeah, sorry, that's on me. Like, that was me. I did that. And I did at the time I was doing the best that I could, you know. And I'm sorry. And also realizing in my 40s that everybody has a different experience of a situation, any situation. And like, for, I don't know why, but you know, you sort of go along thinking, well, that's how this went on. And then somebody else tells you, no, this is how I experienced that. And you're like, what? That is like the polar opposite to how I experienced that. And so being able to discuss that, especially with your teens, to be able to like say, whoa, I'm sorry. How come you experienced it like that? Like, explain it to me. I want to know, you know, and hopefully they can understand way earlier than I did that everybody has their own personal experience of a situation. And it sometimes is not the same as yours. And that's okay. And it's important to listen to their truth about it and acknowledge your part in it.
Right. I think too, like most people run from their flaws because, I mean, when you have a strength and you know your strength, it kind of becomes your identity.
Right.
Like so tied to who you are as a core.
Yeah.
And so then when a flaw comes up, it's like, oh, I'm a shitty person. It's who I am as a core.
Yeah.
no, we all have so many strengths and so many flaws.
Right.
And that are all just like rushing around us all the time. And it's not who you are as a person. Like if you made a mistake with a friend or with your child or your mate, it's just everybody has it. And the other great thing about recognizing flaws is then you can recognize them in other people.
Right.
And well, it's always a little easier to see other people's flaws than your own in my experience. How it helps me is when I'm in an experience with somebody, I can think, oh, I'm like that in this way.
Yeah.
My flaw is similar in this way. And so then it's like, it makes everybody a little bit more human. You can take things a little less personally. I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that I'm really good at seeing other people's strengths. Like when I meet somebody, I'm like, your strengths are so obvious. Like, can't you see? Like when they're like, no, you're like, I'm always like, what? Like, how do you not know this about yourself? Like, look at you. You're this, you're that, you know? So you're right now. I do see people's flaws, a lot of the like surface flaws and stuff. And I can see people's like deeper flaws, but, it's interesting sort of. And it, now that it just changes in your 40s, everything changes and you just sort of go, it is such a decade of shift. I feel like, and you just sort of go, oh yeah. And it's also a little bit about releasing the emotion from it, from everything.
Yeah. I think that people are either one or the other, either you're really focused on your strengths or you're really focused on your flaws, just depending on how you've grown up and been able to, work in the world. And what's most important is just getting both.
Right.
You know, like you can't just be focused on your strengths or your flaws. Like there's both.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, but it is funny because like, and I know you know a lot about more about me than what I'm going to say on a podcast, but like the last couple of years, it's like, for me, the flaws came like flying in my face a few years ago. And then you sit with those flaws for so long and you're like, wow, like I'm a horrible person. And then realizing, wait a minute, they're not me. They're not the core of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then recognizing when your kids are in that moment too, when they're like, wait a minute, you know, and you're like, whoa, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being able to see it in your kids. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. So what's next for Tara Whitney?
Oh man, Dana, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love my job. Photography is, being a photographer just allows so much freedom and creativity and a lot of time at home, travel, money, and I don't want to lose any of that. Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like I have more to give, more to offer. And so for a while now, I've been thinking, okay, if I'm not a photographer, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What is it going to be? And not coming up with anything, like literally just stuck. And now I'm kind of realizing, okay, it doesn't have to be either or. You can kind of use photography to leapfrog into whatever the next thing is going to be. So something that's really important to me is mental health and personal growth and, loving yourself, being affirming to yourself, giving to yourself, body positivity, woman power, you know, like getting our power. I feel like I was in therapy and I was talking, my therapist was trying to help me figure out what I wanted to do. And I was like, you know, I feel like I want to give women back the power that they lost.
Right. Me too. That's what I feel like too.
And she said something and she said, wait, let's say that in a more honest way.
Oh.
She said, you want to give women back the power they gave away.
Oh yeah.
Because you have, like, we all have this power.
Yeah.
And a lot of, I mean, for me, oh gosh, I totally lost my train of thought.
How did you give away?
My brain. Okay, what was I saying?
You were saying you gave away your power.
So the power that I, so one of the ways I threw away my power, I was kind of born with a natural gift for like being warm with people and like seeing people, and people trusted me. Like I was always a kid in high school that my friends would talk to. And I was also born 6 feet tall and slender. And as I was reaching puberty and adulthood, I started getting really, really uncomfortable with the attention that I was getting.
Right.
And I wanted to hide. And I couldn't handle that power. Like, I had an innate power. I had a presence and I could give to people, and that scared me. And I didn't want the attention, and I didn't want the hate from people who were, you know, didn't like me. And so I just shrank. I shrank myself.
Yeah.
And, as I went through my pregnancies, I gained weight. I gained 100 pounds and plus, and I lived for 20 years trying to be invisible and throwing that power completely away. And I have only recently in the last couple of years, aside from losing weight, I have realized what my power is, and I'm trying to infuse myself with that power with the purpose of being able to give to everyone in my life that I love and care about, and nurture them and nurture myself. And I want to offer that to other women. I want to talk to other women about this. I want to help other women. I want to help young moms who are in the throes of the chaos.
Yes. You know,
show them the other side.
Yeah.
So that's my hope and dream. And I'm not really sure how I'm going to go about that yet. I think I want to maybe start focusing more on women in my photography. But I'm not really quite sure how.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel it's interesting because, I think we have such a similar journey in a lot of ways, but, and for me, the whole piece of like, women taking back their power has come through mentoring other people, because I've been mentoring now for 3 years and being shocked that so many people didn't feel, so many women, because I mostly mentor women, so many women didn't feel like they were able to stand in their goodness.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, what? And like I said to you, I see their strengths. I just, yeah. It frustrates me to no end when I'm like, what do you mean you don't see how awesome you are? And like, not just them, but like hearing the stories of their husbands sort of saying, what, you can't make money doing that. You can't do this. You're not worth that, or whatever. Don't be silly.
Charge that much. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is a silly thing. Go do something else, or just be a mom or whatever. And it's like, and I don't think these husbands are doing it maliciously. I just think society has trained them to sort of say these things, you know, they're not necessarily saying them out of, they're not stopping to think, wait a minute, I need to say this out of a place of love and support for my wife. You know, they just sort of say, what?
They're saying it out of a place of fear.
Yeah, totally out of a place of
You're
fear.
You're not going to get that much money. You know, even when I would raise my prices, my husband was the same way.
Yeah.
Like, how can you charge that much money? Or he'd hear from friends like, wow, she's Tara's charging a lot of money. Da, 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 da. And yeah. It's like, yeah, yeah, I am. Because
yeah.
I'm not walking out of the house for less than this.
Yeah.
Like, somebody wants to pay it, great. And if somebody doesn't, fine. But
yeah.
I know that what I need to earn is this much.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know a single female entrepreneur whose like goal is to go out and screw someone over, you know? You know, like when people are like, oh, you mom photographers thinking you should get paid more. And it's like, yeah, no, because we should. Like, there's so many of them making minimum wage or less. It's like, no, it's time that actually running a business, you know, is a profitable thing for them. And
our time is valuable.
Totally.
Our time is valuable. If we have children at home, if we're running a house and assisting our husband with his job, you know, and letting him do what he needs to do, then it's only fair that we do that for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
And make sure that if we do spend time outside of the house working, that our time is valued the same way our husband's time is valued.
Totally. I agree. It's like, and I've said this to so many women, it's like, would you let your husband have a 30-hour week hobby on top of his job, or
right.
a 30-hour week a week additional job where he brings in $20,000 a year? Like, you just wouldn't let it happen, you know, because it wouldn't make sense. So why does it make sense for you, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And it's not just us in the industry. And I know photography is not the only industry that this happens. Like, a lot of female-driven industries this happens, like graphic design, interior design. Like, we could just go on and on. Yeah. But it's like everybody and it's other women realizing, oh, wait a minute, if I'm hiring a woman, I want to pay her her rate and make sure that her rate is one that is, you know, sustainable, that shows her value. Like, instead of, because I feel like a lot of consumers look at things and they're like, that's a mom doing a job, I should get it for less. Yeah. And I want that mentality to change. I want consumers to start to go, whoa, wait a minute, we don't deserve everything. Like, you know, we shouldn't get everything at the cheapest possible dollar. That we should, like, not, we should pay for things what they're worth, you know?
Whether I know, and the problem is the value of photography has just dropped dramatically, and totally. It's so fucked up because, like, I get emails all the time from companies that want me to use their thing and post on Instagram, and they don't pay.
Yeah.
They're not paying. And I know you just get a free product and it's like, oh great, I'm going to get a free pillow and then sell my soul and post on Instagram. Like, I at least want to get $1,000 to sell my soul.
If you're going to ask me to sell my soul, pay for it, for Christ's sake. More than like your sock organizer or whatever. But
the problem is, if I say no, which I do, they just go to the next person, totally. And the next person's like, oh, they're so excited. And I just feel like, oh, just needs a change, Dana. It needs a change.
I know. And it's not just photography. It's everything. And it's just people seeking this outside affirmation. And then for some reason, in the 40s, I hate to keep saying this, but in your 40s, you just are like, fuck outside affirmation.
Yeah,
I want inside affirmation here.
I know. My whole life, everybody always said, oh, in your 40s, that's when you just stop caring. Like, you just, it's when you really become who you are. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm already who I am.
Yeah.
I know everything. But, and now I think in your 40s, the thing that you really realize is you don't know. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
You don't know shit. And you're going to change in 5 years. And then 5 years after that. And then 5 years after that. And it's like, I'm just going to do my best and be who I am, and who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Things change,
man. I know. Because and I've been doing that whole thing too, where I'm like, okay, so if not photography, then what? And and going, why would I do that? Like, in 5 years, am I going to want to do that? Like, you know, like, and in photography too, it's like, I've become okay photographing things. Like, it's not just about the creativity sometimes. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm going to take this job because it's a job and it's going to pay and I'm happy to do it. And am I going to show it on Instagram? No. You know? I'm just going to go. I'm not going to show me on Instagram being all happy. Like, look at me doing my cool job. It's like, no, I don't. You know? It's like, oh, well, I took that job because it paid me $6,000 and I needed that $6,000.
I mean, I'm grateful for this job. I am so grateful for this job, and I take almost every job that will come my way except for weddings.
Weddings are tough. I'm just dropping them from my calendar now. I just announced to my like referral group, I'm like, okay, I'm done, I'm out. I never did very many of them, but you know,
you have to give up your wedding, not your wedding, when you have to give up your weekend.
Yeah.
When all you see, only time you see your kid is on the weekend. It's really hard.
Yeah. Then you realize, and it's funny because family portraits are also very weekend based often. It's hard to convince people to like move it to the weekday. Like, you can still do it.
Instead of a day.
Right. It is an hour. But at the same time, it's the same thing. Like, what I've realized is, like, I'm going to these people's homes on, like, evenings and weekends and photographing them or to a park or whatever we do. And I'm like, you know, if anybody else who's, like, working a 9-to-5 job, if they were asked to come in on the evenings and weekends, they would be like, no! You know, they might do it occasionally, but they wouldn't be happy to do it all the time. And it's like, and here they are valuing me. A lot of them are like, I want this for so little money. And you're like, yeah, no. That's why it becomes easier and easier to say no when you're like, wait a minute, yeah, that's not going to work for me. That's not enough money, and I don't need to do this.
And that's experience, too.
It is.
Not everybody starting out knows that. You know, you really have to go through it to really let that touch you and know what you can and can't handle.
Yeah, and also the passion. Like, not that the passion dies, but, like, at the beginning, you just want to photograph everything. You, like, do you remember those years? I was just talking to a friend of mine whose partner is just getting into photography, and they're like, it's insane. Like, they just want to photograph everything. Like, everything is interesting. Look at this photograph of an apple that I took. It's so fascinating, you know. And look at the light. It worked out so great. And I just so am, like, not that I'm picky about what I photograph, but I want to photograph when I'm getting paid or when something's interesting in front of me. Like, you know, it's not like this constant need, but I remember at the beginning it sort of being like an addiction.
Yeah. It definitely, I mean, when it stops being just fun is when it becomes really a job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just a hobby anymore. It's like, okay, I'm not in the mood for this.
But I gotta go do it.
I don't know where I'm gonna pull this creative fire from, but this is my job. I'm gonna figure it out. I'll figure it out.
And it's kind of about becoming okay with taking the same photograph over and over again. Like, for a long while with families, I was like, I gotta be totally different. Like, every time I go out, you know, when I was newer, and now I'm like, it's okay if it's all the same as last time. You know, like,
it's
okay.
Like that don't yourself thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
you know,
okay
a little
to
bit
have
grace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tara, thank you so much for talking to us. I think this was great.
We are done.
Well, we could be done. We could keep talking. What do you want to talk about? I feel like I've taken up so much of your time.
No, it's good. It's good. This is good.
Yeah.
Excited
to
hear end results.